For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Cultivating seeing clearly. We can't expect that it's January and we decided to be mindful, that we're going to all of a sudden just be mindful and see things clearly right away. Because each one of us has honed the habit of running on autopilot, rehashing the past, worrying about the future, and strengthening those neural pathways every day for the past, you name the number of years. If we get down on ourselves because we've fallen back into the habit of running on autopilot or rehashing or being anxious about the future, then we're only strengthening the neural pathway of self-judgment. And most of us want to break that habit as well. So what we really want to do is create new neural pathways in this new year. And we can do this by beginning or by beginning again today. And beginning again and again and again. I've been practicing over 15 years and I still have to begin again and again and again. You know, I screwed up yesterday. I was very judgmental. I could start again today. I reacted unskillfully this morning. I can begin again right now. I'm three words into interrupting someone. I don't have to finish the sentence before I begin again. Every moment is a chance to begin again. And we have the choice of beginning again or beating ourselves up. That's our choice. Because our habits are so strong, we need discipline and persistence. And being in a group like this really helps with discipline and persistence. When we think we've kicked a habit, it suddenly rears its ugly head again. You know, when I get stressed out, that brick wall I think I've taken down magically rises back up. It's a little easier to take down the next time, but it happens again. We have to practice over and over and over. Sometimes I think, oh, I thought I processed that. I'm beyond that. That shouldn't be coming up. And when that happens, I can say, I will never be whole. I'll never be good enough. I can't be a meditator. Or I can begin again and work at it some more. And that's where persistence pays off. Because if you're in a meditation group, it gives you that persistence to start again and again every time you're with the group. Many of us have the habit of ruminating about the past, right? Show of hands, who ruminates about the past? Yep. We can't change the past no matter how many times we run it through our brain. Each time we run it through our brain about how awful we are or how awful something was, we're strengthening that neural pathway. And it's easy for me to suggest that you just make a habit of pausing and taking three breaths when those disappointing or angry or irritated thoughts come up. But that's a lot easier said than done. We can't become mindful and stop and take breaths when we're in the middle of chaos or when we're in the middle of feeling really upset. The only way we can train our brains and create those new neural pathways is by doing it when we're calm. And that's why the practice of meditation is so important. It's difficult to put it into practice if you haven't created a strong neural pathway. And that's why we practice taking three breaths, like when you're at a stop sign, or taking a couple of moments when you're in the middle of your tasks, or every time you leave the grocery store, every time you walk into your house, every time you go to walk up the stairs, whatever it is, get yourself a habit of taking three breaths so that you create that neural pathway. You're training your brain to create this gap. The three breaths is the gap we need. The gap between the stimulus and response, as Viktor Frankl says, that's where we have our power. Pema Chodron says, one of the most effective means for working with that moment when we see the gathering storm of our habitual tendencies is the practice of pausing or creating a gap. We can stop and take three conscious breaths, and the world has a chance to open up to us in that gap. We can allow space into our state of mind. So when we get contracted, we get tunnel vision. And if we can take three conscious breaths, we can relax our body and our vision opens out. And that's what we want to do. Daniel Tiger says, when you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to four. I've been watching some Daniel Tiger. And my grandson had a kind of a meltdown. So I taught him a new word, squall. And I said, that was a squall. And he was like, what's a squall? He's 2.5. And I explained what he did was a squall. And did it feel very good? No, it didn't. And I said, well, you know, when you feel so bad that you want to squall, take a deep breath and count to four. And maybe it doesn't rhyme, but it handles all the other feelings, that not just anger, but frustration, sadness, whatever. When you feel bad that you want to squall, and how many of us have wanted to squall? Maybe we've learned not to anymore, but we sure want to. Take a deep breath and counting to four really does help to calm us down. So we use meditation to train our brain to create these gaps. Every time we become aware of our thoughts and let them go, we create a gap. And we can't see clearly through all our mental chatter. We have, 3,000 thoughts a minute or an hour? And we need to calm our mind a little. It's like that lake that's all stirred up with mud at the bottom and you can't see anything in it. But you leave it sit for a few minutes and the mud settles down and you can see your reflection perfectly. And that's what we're trying to do to our brains, is let things settle so we can see what's really happening. Mindfulness is a skill generated most commonly through meditation, where you learn to see what's happening in your head right now clearly so you don't get yanked around by it, according to Dan Harris on the 10% Happier app. None of us want to get yanked around by our thoughts. We want to see clearly, and we want to respond to difficult situations rather than reacting unskillfully. Most of our unskillful reactions are deeply entrenched habits. And we've talked about our brain being a circle with a line across, and everything below the line we're unconscious of, everything above the line we're conscious of. Those deeply entrenched habits are below the line. We don't even realize it. I don't even notice when I'm putting that brick wall back up until I see it there. I become mindful enough to see it there. Because these deeply entrenched habits, the neural pathways are so strong that I don't need to think about it. It's like when you're driving a car. You don't need to think about what to do driving a car until you know. And when you're first learning to drive, you have to think about how far do I turn the wheel? And now it's just automatic, because we've got those entrenched habits in our brain. And so it requires discipline first to see the mindless habit that we have, to see that you're putting your brick wall back up, to see that you're shutting down, to see that you're spinning out in anger, to see that you're putting your first foot on the hamster wheel of reactivity, and then you have to change it. But we get so caught up and distracted by the details of our life that we spend most of our days running on autopilot and mindlessly doing things all day long. you know, we're busy, busy, busy doing things, and we don't even know what we're doing or why we're doing them or if they're the most important things. So when we're mindless, we don't see clearly. We tend to fight against things as they are. How many times have you heard yourself say, that shouldn't be, or it should have been like this? Well, it wasn't. And we can fight all we want against reality, but reality is always going to win. So we try and fight against growing older. We become upset with life's changes, our losses, our conflicts, our disappointments. And we let them take hold of us as if some external thing has control over who we are and how we feel. I was at prison this morning, and one of the things I said to the guys is, you know, you want to pay attention to what's going on, the sensations in your body. I said, how many of you feel a contraction in your body when you see a certain officer? And two of the guys took up and went. And the rest of them, and I said, no need to show hands. And the rest of them had their hands all waving. Because they noticed that. And I said, he doesn't have control over your feelings. You're contracted, and you can do something about it. Yes, this is the most difficult situation and not the one you want to start with, but there's other people who irritate you and make you tense up. And when that happens, you want to be aware of it. We don't want to get on the hamster wheel of reactivity because that's when we're going to make it a lot worse. We're often looking for false security. You know, if I can control this, I'm going to feel secure. But there is no such thing as I can control everything. And we're looking for our pleasures to be permanent. And none of our pleasures are permanent. Everything goes away. So when we're on our hamster wheel trying to get away from the unpleasant, it just gets stronger and stronger, and we go faster and faster and faster. Because we're resisting, it gets harder and harder. We do things that aren't skillful because we're not paying attention. How many have ever made a stupid mistake because you're not paying attention? We've all done that. You know, trip over something, leave your purse behind after coffee. That would be me. All sorts of things, because we're not paying attention. So when you don't see clearly, your mind is filled with all this mental chatter that you don't even know is going on in there. And amidst all that chatter, your negative emotions look really scary. Like, I can't deal with these. I gotta push them away. And when I push them away, they get stronger and stronger. But when you see clearly, those negative emotions lose some power. And they're not quite so scary. Your brain sometimes lies to you, telling you you can't handle these emotions. If you let yourself get upset, you're gonna totally lose it. But that's your brain lying to you. If you're strong enough, if you resource yourself, you can handle it. You can do it. And you got to keep telling yourself you can do it. You've dealt with many things in the past. And look at, we're all still here. And in this room, we're all okay. We may not be okay in the future, and things in the past may not have been great, but we've lived through them. So we can live through a lot more than we think we can. When you see clearly, your emotions are not so bad as you thought. Instead of thinking, if I feel this emotion, I'll fall apart, say, I can be with this for just a breath. I can be with this for two breaths. And then I'm going to distract myself and let it go, because that's all I have the energy for right now. And then I'm going to build up my internal resources, and I'm going to come back and be with it again. And the more I'm with it, and the stronger I build up my internal resources, the less power that negative emotion has over me, and the more control I have over myself. And then I can start seeing life as it really is, not the way I'm afraid it is, not the way I think it should be, not the way society's telling me it should be, but the way it really is. And when we learn to deal with reality instead of our image of reality, we quit fighting with reality, so we quit losing. Jack Kornfield says, when we look at our own mind, we can notice the mental states that predominate, as if we were noticing the weather. Just as a storm can bring rain, wind, and cold, we can observe the clusters of unhealthy states that appear on our bad days. We may find resentment, fear, anger, worry, doubt, envy, or agitation. We can notice how often they arise and how attached we are to their point of view. We can also notice the healthy states in our most free and open-hearted periods. We can notice how love, generosity, flexibility, ease, and simplicity are natural to us. But when we're all contracted, we don't see those positive ones. We only see the negative ones. And they take hold, and we're holding on to them like a hot coal that we just can't let go of. By seeing more clearly through mindfulness and self-compassion practice, we can cultivate a new way of relating to life in which we let go of our struggles. When we step back from the struggle, we see anew. We see it is our mind creating the conflict, and maybe even lying to us. We see our constant judging of ourselves, things, other people. We see our greed and our prejudices. There are times where I wish I didn't practice mindfulness because it's hard for me to look at all my insecurities, my imperfections, and my fears. There's times where it's like, oh, I wish I never did this, because I look at other people whose carefully curated exterior looks like they're very happy and think, oh, I wouldn't have to deal with this if I hadn't started down this path. But then I see how my habitual patterns really close down my heart. And when I see that, it gives me the strength to see clearly again and let myself heal. It's not an easy path, this path of mindfulness. It's a lot of things that we don't want to deal with, that we have to deal with, that we have to see. But mindfulness is a state where we're aware, we're accepting reality, we're not saying it's okay, but we're accepting that it is reality, and we're as non-judgmental as we can be of what's happening right now. We're not telling ourselves we're an idiot, we're not telling ourselves we're a failure. We're just saying this happened. And noticing that our mind has wandered onto some bad thoughts and bringing it right back to what's in front of you, what's here in this room right now, which is, and on the screen, which is a lot of people on the same path, going in the same direction, trying to be the best person they can be. And sitting here with that energy is, to me, very inspiring and calming. But our mind keeps pulling us away into the other things that happen, things we might be upset about, things we might be angry about. And our mind keeps pulling us away because our mind wants to take control. But we don't want our mind to have the control. We want to have the control. We want to use our mind as a servant, not as a master. And it all starts with being aware of the present moment. Where are your thoughts right now? What are you feeling right now? What sensations are you feeling in your body? That's where I find my Bella mindfulness, the sensations I feel in my body. When I feel the heaviness or the tightness, I know not to talk or to act. I know if I do, I'm probably going to regret it. I have this little knot that goes from here to here that I feel when I'm going to interrupt someone. Sometimes I might be three words in, but as soon as I feel that knot, oh, there's my interruption, bell of mindfulness. I can stop and say, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. Or I can choose to interrupt, because sometimes you do need to interrupt people. But I can consciously make that choice rather than just unconsciously react and start interrupting for no reason. So I'm not suggesting you brush anything negative under the carpet. I've done that for years, and I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't work. If we do that, the problem just grows. The things that are under my carpet that would have been little if I looked at them years ago have grown and grown and grown. And now they're a lot harder to look at. So what I'm suggesting is you train your mind so you can choose to pay attention to the moment with kindness and with curiosity. You might not like that someone cut you off in traffic, but instead of getting angry and retaliating, you could get curious. You could say, did they really do it just to piss me off? Or maybe they're on the way to the hospital because somebody they love is dying. You don't know which story is true, but think about it. If you think they did it on purpose to cut me off, what does that do to your mood for the day? And if you say they might be on their way to the hospital because someone they love is dying, do you have that same bad mood? No. So we can tell ourselves whatever story we want to tell ourselves. Our brain doesn't know whether that's true or not. But a lot of times we allow ourselves to tell those negative stories that hurt us and make us feel bad. We can remember that happy people don't cause others to suffer. So if someone's causing you to suffer, you might just start wondering what's making them so unhappy. Often it doesn't have anything to do with you, but we take things so personally as if we're 2 years old in the center of the universe. And we got to remember, we're not the center of the universe anymore. And we really weren't when we were two, we just thought we were. So what would your life be like if you stopped wishing reality was different and got curious about what was really going on? You know, so when someone is snippy to you, instead of being snippy back, saying, oh, you're not feeling so good today, are you? What's going on? And saying it in a very compassionate way. And then you might find out what's going on and feel some compassion rather than anger or frustration. When you don't like what's going on, you could run that movie over and over in your head, as we often do, or you can accept that life is just not fair and let it go. Mindfulness is about training our brain to respond wisely rather than acting blindly. James Baraz says, mindfulness is simply being aware of what's happening right now without wishing it were different. Enjoying the pleasant without holding on when it changes, which it will. Being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't. So mindfulness is just being aware of what's happening right now without wishing it was different. With over a decade of meditation experience, my mind still wanders to the past and to the future during meditation. It spins out stories about the past and the future. It also spins out fantasies. Sometimes I'm sitting and it's just like, where did that come from? That's what minds do. They make up stories. When your mind wanders, you can begin again. Every time my mind spins a story, I can become aware I'm thinking or realize that I've been lost in thought. And then when I become aware I'm thinking or lost in thought, I have a moment of mindfulness. I can then decide whether I want to continue to observe that thought, whether I want to stay lost in thought. You know, sometimes if I'm sitting around and my mind just starts fantasizing, sometimes that's a good thing for me. Just continue it. Or I can direct my attention elsewhere. So I can decide what I want to do, where I want to place my attention. I can't decide what thoughts are going to pop up, but I can decide what thoughts I'm going to pay attention to and which ones I'm going to just let go. So what I've learned is that no matter how spacey, forgetful, impulsive, or reactive I've been, I can always begin again. And each time I begin again, it gets easier to begin again and gets easier to be a little bit more mindful. So my wish for you is may you learn to be aware of your thoughts and your feelings so you can respond skillfully and not be yanked around by external circumstances.